independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Chad is off for an extended vacation, much deserved, just before the holiday. And I am thrilled to be here. However, the topic of conversation is pretty obvious, I imagine, for so many. We got to talk about Rittenhouse. We got to talk about Kyle. We have to talk about the interview that was done just the other day, just last night with Tucker Carlson. It was profound in a lot of ways. I want to start here, though. Out of all the things that they talked about, I thought the most interesting one was potentially the way in which Rittenhouse said that people in jail changed their mind about him after they got to know him. These are people that he's interacting with in prison while he's there, even though I guess his lawyers probably had the ability to get him out, his first set of lawyers, sooner than he was released. But I just thought this was tremendously interesting. If you get to know, if you get to meet this person, maybe a lot more people, maybe not just the prison setting, would feel differently about him than those who are so very upset about a large part of this conversation.
What was that like? It was scary in jail. Like, you had to watch over yourself, and not a lot of people liked me in jail until they, the funny thing is, a lot of people didn't like me in jail, but they got to hear like my story and they got to understand me. Like, he's actually a really decent person. I'm not this person that the media painted him out to be.
That's so interesting to me, in all honesty. There were other things that I think are going to be more the viral moments of the conversation. The fact that Rittenhouse said he'd like to just go about living his life now. He'd like to be a 18-year-old again who's on his way to college. However, there are death threats. There are people who'd like to hurt him quite a bit. So how exactly he goes about living that life will be very challenging, I think, very unique in just how long it takes, if ever, for him to return to quote-unquote normal.
Do you feel like your life's been destroyed by this?
I feel my life has been extremely defamed by it. I don't think I would be able to go out and get a job and not have to deal with harassment. But I'm at a place now to where I have to have people with me because people want to kill me just because I defended myself, and they're too ignorant to look at the facts of what happened.
Do you feel the threats?
I do. I see some of the threats, some of the things people say. It's absolutely sickening.
Now, look, I know that a lot of people are going to have opinions about this case, whether or not you followed it, whether or not you paid attention to some of the things that even witnesses called by the prosecution wound up saying, things that seemed to be in the defense of Rittenhouse and in the defense of the idea that he was defending himself. He did say that as well. He said, in his opinion, he wasn't on trial. In a lot of people's opinion, I don't know that Rittenhouse alone was on trial. A lot of people would say our society was on trial, or a lot of people would say, you know, something else was in that courtroom other than one individual who, you know, the question being asked was, did they defend their life? Yes or no. But he said, Rittenhouse, when asked by Tucker Carlson, that it was that fact and that fact alone that really mattered, of course, and that if they had not decided to find him innocent, then maybe a lot more people would struggle with the ability or the attempt to defend themselves. I thought Rittenhouse said it very well.
Were you surprised by the verdict?
I wasn't. I thought they came to the correct verdict because it wasn't Kyle Rittenhouse on trial in Wisconsin. It was the right to self-defense on trial. Right. And if I was convicted, no one would ever be privileged to defend their life against attackers. And thank God they came to the correct verdict of not guilty.
And there was one more thing that I thought was really interesting during this conversation. I guess there were several, but we're only going to play one more for now. After all, it is almost a holiday. But I thought that Rittenhouse saying that video evidence was tremendously important to the inevitable outcome in his court case, in the you know, trial itself, is so tremendously valuable as a conversation piece for anybody that you talk to. And I don't recommend bringing this up over the holidays at the Thanksgiving table if you know there's family members who have opposing views to yours. I'm not sure that that's the avenue toward getting you both to the same place. But if video evidence helped prove him innocent, help prove that he was in fact defending himself, why doesn't that matter more to more people? Why don't more of the people on the left, the people who are saying fairly reckless things at this point, or things that Rittenhouse himself even describes in legal terms as defamation, but when they say these things, why don't they point to the idea that there is so much video available to see what occurred that evening, that the jury in that case asked to see that video again and again in one of the days that they deliberated on what the inevitable outcome was, and that at the end of the day, that video evidence helped Kyle Rittenhouse? Why doesn't that matter? Our society does this all the time everywhere else. We see video even out of context, even clipped up to where maybe we're not seeing the entirety of an idea. We're just seeing someone's version of it. And we believe that right away. Every time we see video released into the world and every time we consume it, we usually fall into the narrative of whatever it is the video is telling us occurred. And again, that's not always a good thing because it's not always the totality of the information. Yet in this case, with the amount of video available, you would think that a lot more people's perception would be changing as they became aware that it was a crucial aspect in finding him not guilty of murder. But it's not. This is the world we live in now, where you even pick the, it's not just the facts of the day and whether or not you believe these or believe those. It's the way in which we consume all of the media. Everything we have at our disposal, at our fingertips, in a society as evolved as we are now, we will pick and choose all of it to be like, well, no, I still don't care about anything you're presenting to me, because in this one situation, all I care about is my opinion from the beginning, and I'm not changing it no matter what you do. But here is Rittenhouse on the evidence and Tucker Carlson talking about how the video played such a crucial role.
A lot of people are like, oh, Kyle had time to meet with his attorneys to come up with this amazing defense of self-defense. No, that's not the case. This has been 100% self-defense from the beginning. And I didn't know there was 100 cameras. I knew I was, but I didn't know I was attacked and I defended myself.
What do you think would have happened to you if there hadn't been the amount of video that there is?
I can't even imagine. I don't think we'd be sitting here right now having this talk, Tucker.
That's for sure. You'd never get out.
I wonder if that's accurate. I wonder if there was not the amount of video evidence available, if the narrative would have been too difficult to prove, if too many people's opinions were made up. I mean, Rittenhouse even talked about his first set of lawyers, including Lynn Wood, and how they had a very different plan than the inevitable defense team that he chose, leaving him in jail, collecting money, as I said before, doing all these things that seemed to indicate that maybe even they believed that Rittenhouse was guilty, even talking about him being part of a militia when the kid didn't know what a militia was. All those are real things. All those are things we might get to later on as we continue to talk about the topic. But just so interesting to me that we find ourselves in a world where there's video evidence, video proof of the decision made by jurors in this case. And yet so many people are just like, that's not good enough for me. And the next time we have an abridged version of a video, I'm sure those same people will be like, this is the best. I know everything that happened this day, and I don't care what you say. I want to shift gears to something way more fun and maybe something that's also somehow controversial, at least to this girl. It is. There is a 22-year-old woman who I guess made an impassioned rant about Taylor Swift that has gone viral. She did it after going to the dentist. These videos pop up every so often. A family member picks you up at the dentist. They realize you're still on the medicine, the drugs they give you at the dentist. You're still hopped up on some things. And so you're saying stuff that maybe doesn't make sense. And then you put that up on social media, and that's a video. And probably people make a lot of money off of these things, because eventually when you get the millions of views this one did, you run ads. And then, I don't know, I guess that's how you pay for college, is just be crazy one time after a dentist appointment. But this is pretty good.
Always thinking about Taylor Swift, and it's not fair. I have loved her since I was 11, and I stood by her side. I stood there, Mom, when everyone hated Taylor Swift, and I said she does not deserve it. It's true.
I love this.
And then everyone in the world woke up, and they said, we love Taylor Swift. And I said, I know. And I'm so upset because I will never see her in the concert venue.
Why do you think you will never see her?
It's so expensive.
She was so upset because she stood by Taylor for so long since she was 11. She's 22 now. That's 11 years. I can do that math. I feel good about that. And so after all that time, she's just upset that if finally the rest of society agrees with her that Taylor's a good person, but that she's never going to get to see her in concert, because the tickets are just they're just too darn high. I guess she should have hoped that people kept hating on Taylor so she could have seen her in concert back then. I don't know, but I just love it. I love that that's the thing that this person cares about so very, very much, that that's where their brain goes when they're hopped up on some stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
Irreverent? Like, yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to have you with us, Chad, back after the holiday. A much-deserved extended vacation, and I'm sure trying to stay away from the news of the day because it's not always the most fun. I want to revisit something that you've probably already heard by now, but I love it so much in the oddest of ways, I guess. It's probably weird to say that I love this audio, but I do. I can't help it. The Axios reporter talking to Rashida Tlaib about the idea that releasing every single person in jail is probably bad, that it's probably not a good call to just let every single person we've incarcerated out onto the street, into the world, because the prison system is bad, according to Rashida Tlaib. And the way in which she both sort of says that thing that every rational person knows is true, that there are exceptions to a rule like this. There are a tremendous amount of exceptions, in fact, to the idea that releasing some people from prison may or may not make sense. But then she still avoids it. So she touches on it. She goes toward, I would say goes toward the light, and then pulls back because she's very aware, I think you can tell in this audio, that her supporters, the people that she's trying to impress in an interview like this, I don't want to hear that. They want to hear that people have to get out of jail, that people are wrongfully imprisoned, and that's the only group they want to talk about. But this Axios reporter does such a great job of pivoting back to the context of the question that he's only asking about those that they both should agree need to stay in jail. And I don't even know if they actually have the same perception of how many people that is, but I just love it so much. Here we go.
In 2020, you endorsed as...
Uh-oh, hold on. Give me a second. Let's get it back. All right, let's try it again. Rashida, take it away. All right, you're having a little bit of a technical issue.
The Breathe Act, which is a series of proposals to transform America's criminal justice system, mm-hmm. and create, quote, a roadmap for prison abolition. The BREATHE Act proposes emptying federal detention facilities within 10 years. To what extent have you wrestled with any potential downsides of releasing into society every single person who's currently in a federal prison?
Even the way in which that's phrased by Jonathan is just, it's so well done. What have you wrestled with? What have you toyed with in your brain about the idea that some people in jail need to stay there?
Yeah, I think that everyone's like, oh my God, we're going to just release everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But did you see how many people are mentally ill that are in prison right now?
No, I know, but the...
Okay, she also sounds very young. I will say this in that argument, the yeah, but, you know, how many people are in this camp or that camp? And I just love that you keep going back to, no, the thing you supported said everybody gets out.
That you so endorsed we're keep, we're actually gonna, says release everyone.
But
in 10 years.
But think about it. Who will release
there you? There are like human traffickers.
Oh, I know.
Child sex. Think about
so
it.
Saying, do you mean that you don't actually support that?
No.
You endorse the bill.
No, I endorse the BREATHE Act and looking at federal the policies and how we incarcerate. Absolutely.
But it says in there.
But you cannot just blankly say, oh, look, she wants, that's not what I'm saying.
But that's like in plain text.
But that's what the bill says. And they go on. They go on to spar back and forth. And Rashida Tlaib continues to say, well, no, of course, you know, there are cases that I'd have to look at individually to make sure that some people might need to stay in jail. And that's scary. That's scary in and of itself that we're in this place where I think and I know that if you attack the left, it's fairly easy to do. Because the way in which they communicate is so, I don't know, it just has to be this ridiculous version of society that doesn't exist. And they refuse to acknowledge any weakness in their arguments. I think it points to the president, too. President Biden refuses to acknowledge any of the mistakes he's actually made as we see his approval ratings continue to just tank off the face of the earth. And I believe that you could single-handedly improve a little bit of that if you just acknowledge some of the mistakes, like, for example, Afghanistan or inflation, any of these things that are concrete and real and every American sees and feels and struggles with. If you just reference some of those as actual things, I think you'd be in a much better place. But you continue to get this version of talking points from Democrats, which is, well, no. You know, even though the bill that I sponsored says the thing that you're saying, also, let's stop talking about this. I'd like to move on and focus on the one way in which I win this conversation and none of the ways in which I lose it. It's just ridiculous. It's just nuts. One other quick thing. I do like this story a lot, so I figured I'd touch on this just in time for the holiday. I don't know what that means for anyone out there, but I love that there's a parenting expert. I think this is in the New York Post telling you not to be stricter on your daughters than your sons because it's going to have a bad outcome. Her name is Allie Payne. She says, of course, the more rules you create for teenagers, the more likely they are to rebel against said rules. I don't know if she knows a lot of dads because I don't think we do this on purpose. I don't think you force different rules on the girl than the boy. I just think that as a man, you know that you don't trust other boys and you feel like there's some reasons you shouldn't trust other boys in the world of dating your daughter and you get overly protective. I think that's a thing. I don't think there's any ill intent by it. But I do think it happens. And so I just wonder if this advice is something that people can actually follow. She got 500,000 views on her social media pages just for throwing it out there. The most simplistic of things, the thing that you've heard time and again. And yet, if you are a person who has a daughter, and if you're a guy, I imagine you're still going to struggle with these rules. And I feel like this is more, a message tailored toward pop than it's tailored toward mom, but maybe it's tailored toward everybody. Allie seems to think that daughters just have a hard time all across the board. So there we go. I guess that's the tip of the day. If you're having the family reunite together, be super nice to the daughter in your life and make sure to not have any different standard. All right, quick break, a lot more. Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to have you. Thrilled to be here. Chad will be back after the holiday. I'm going to play just a quick snippet from our president. This is something he's been saying a lot. There is now reason to believe that part of this is inaccurate. Part of this is probably an ebb and flow thing and wages might be down a little bit. Month over month, year over year, of course, wages are up. But it's very odd to hear the president continue to talk about how life is better for Americans, to blatantly ignore inflation and to just tell us that, hey, he's getting you paid more. So that's all that matters.
Now, after years of wages being flat or falling behind, we're also seeing something else. Things are getting better for American workers. Higher wages.
That's higher wages. That's all that is. I'm not going to describe or talk about how the math doesn't really play out that well if inflation is higher than the amount of money you just got additionally in your paycheck. For those that even got it, and again, there are some pointing to how this is not totally accurate. I love how he just walks off all the time from reporters too, because I don't know if we've seen a lot of this from, I know that other presidents do this from time to time, but it's so consistently the move by our current president, that I imagine the excuse inevitably is just like, nah, I didn't hear anybody. Now I have no idea people are talking to me. I don't know what's going on. But I just love it that it's all the time, the walk-off. And now they're actually playing walk-off music for him. I'm not sure if you saw this the other day.
Thank you all.
It's real. That's elevator music. The White House just started blaring over reporters. I don't know if that's to help Biden figure out where he's going next. Maybe that's, it gets louder as he gets closer to his destination. And again, he just can't hear anybody. Or maybe that is just the way in which they're telling the reporters to be quiet. We don't care what you have to say. We don't care what you want to talk about. We're here to just tell you stuff and then leave. And that's all you get. In other news, other things going on in the world, I do like this, and it's a very odd story, but Chris Pratt will be playing Super Mario in the Mario Brothers movie. And one of the people involved in this film recently, I think this was one of the journalists, comes up to you on the street and asks you some of those questions. And they asked about whether or not Chris Pratt will do a fake Italian accent. And I am an Italian from the East Coast, so I'm curious about this, but I would not be offended because Mario has always had that it's-a-me Mario accent. And I guess they address this in the movie, because even a movie that I imagine is designed for children about a video game character who's tremendously popular still in our society has to hit on the issues of the day. They have to bring up and talk about certain things. And then they also reference in here that the other person playing Luigi is from an Italian family. So maybe he's allowed to do the faux accent. I'm not sure. Here's the audio.
As an Italian American myself, I understand, you know, I understand the comments. Charlie Day was playing Luigi, actually. It comes from an Italian heritage.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, so that's our
That's awesome. Yeah. How much are you gonna have them like lean into the it's me, it's Mario, like lean into the Italianness?
It's, you know, we cover it in the movie, so you'll see that we definitely nod to that, but that's not the tenor of the performance throughout the film.
We lean into it. We make sure that everybody's aware that we know that we're talking about the issues that are relevant. I don't know. I don't think anybody that goes to that movie cares that much. Okay, I take that back. I know there are people that are going to care. Some people are going to care a whole lot about it. But it is a staple aspect of that cartoon character. And so I don't know. I don't know how offensive it truly is. I don't know all that stuff involved and how many people would get mad. But I just love the fact that you couldn't just ignore it in the film. If you don't want to do the faux accent, if you don't want to be those guys, that's fine. Couldn't you just not talk about it at all? Couldn't you do a movie for children that doesn't touch on an important issue or a serious issue or a, I don't know, according to some, not all that important issue? I guess not. That's not something we can do. Let's do a feel-good story. How about that? That feels a little bit better. This kid, 9 years old, decided to protect their mom from a suspected robber who came up and tried to steal a purse. The kid just started wailing on this person, and then mom got involved, and I guess the robber ran away. But I love the fact that the nine-year-old, and talking to local news, was just so proud of the fact that, like, yeah, I saw my mom. She's in trouble. They were trying to take something from her, so I stepped in. I got involved at 9 years old. And obviously someone that is being praised, someone that's being talked about positively. I don't know when the narrative switches. I don't know how much older she gets before someone eventually is like, you're being too mean to that robber. You're punishing them too much. But I love this.
I took a little glimpse at him. Next thing I know, I saw him running towards my mom.
It was, you know, I can't let him get this purse. But once Journey got involved and he pushed her down, you know, I just let the purse go.
So she just let the purse go. But again, the little kid got involved and started throwing punches until they got pushed to the ground. And I just love that aspect of the story, that the little kid's like, yeah, I'm taking this into my own hands and I'm trying to help. I'm trying to be a part of the solution here. And again, praise is a hero, 9 years old. I don't know if that person is in their 20s and if that person might have voted Republican, if we feel the same way about them now. But let's see. Let's move on. I do think this is really interesting. LeBron James has been suspended. He's not going to play basketball, not going to get any money for just one game after the bloody incident that happened the other day. Between him and Isaiah Stewart. I do have some of the audio from that moment, but it's pretty intriguing to think that the quote-unquote best player in the world of basketball and someone who's nowhere near as good as Michael Jordan, I like to get those shots in if I can. I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan, winds up in a situation like this. I don't know if this was caused by an accidental elbow, as LeBron and his team are saying, and it very much bloodied the face of Isaiah Stewart, or if there's some level of frustration, some level of, you know, losing the ability to play at that level that people play at for so long in their careers. When you start to degrade in the skills, does the anger, does the frustration come out a little bit differently?
Tonight, it's their number one guy, Jeremy Grant. Uh-oh. Stewart and LeBron. Stewart is hot. And everybody's coming on now. Now, this is ridiculous. Yeah, he must have caught an elbow or something, but oh yeah, he's got a lot of blood streaming from the side of the eye. Look, here goes Stewart.
I will tell you that when I played back this audio a few times the other day, I realized just how much the commentators started to kind of defend LeBron James. They said, oh no, Stewart's coming after him. You can't do that. That young man is going to be very upset with himself, until they saw the video back of the elbow that LeBron threw that just crushed the face of Isaiah Stewart. And then the narrative changed a little bit again. Then you started to have the conversation. Well, maybe LeBron deserves some blame after the continued fighting that occurred during the NBA game. They wound up suspending both players and ejecting them from that game. I think that probably one game might be enough, might not be enough. I'm thinking more not be enough, just because of how crazy the fight got and that it's happening in Detroit. And we all know that a basketball fight in Detroit can go bad, can go very bad, and you don't want to see that again. But this is interesting. This says to me a few things about where LeBron is in his career, because I don't think that a young LeBron James winds up in a fight like this, because a young LeBron James probably doesn't wind up bloodying somebody's face that much. But that's just me. That's my assumption. And I guess it's just a guess. One last quick thing before we take a break here. I thought this was interesting. A hairstylist is saying that a certain hairstyle is absolutely like trendy. I don't know if you can even call it a comeback hairstyle, because it's been around for a little bit now, and it's universal. Men, women, everybody can have the haircut. I've never rocked this haircut, but it's just so interesting to hear this professional, I assume professional hairstylist, talk about how interesting the mullet is.
That is something that I really love about the mullet, is that there is no gender to it, really. There can be a more masculine look or a more feminine look, but overall the hairstyle in general can definitely suit all genders.
I never thought I'd be in a world where you have somebody that cuts hair for a living talking about how great a mullet is, how universal, how useful it is. And I'm not judging. If you have a mullet right now, if you're rocking the mullet, that's fine. I think that you're a person I could never be. I can't pull that hairstyle off, but I just didn't picture it being something that so many people were asking for, I guess, in today's world. But I guess they are. Everything circles back around, is what it tells us about fashion in this world. Throw out none of your clothing, get rid of nothing. Everything will eventually come back into style, come back into fashion, and then maybe just stick to your guns. Go the old Tiger King road and rock the mullet, even when maybe it's not the coolest of hairstyles. And you might be part of the reason that it comes back and is so successful. I just love, it's so universal. Everybody can have one.
Something that I really love about the mullet is that there is no gender to it, really. There can be a more masculine look or a more feminine look, but overall the hairstyle in general can definitely suit all genders.
I don't know what that person looks like, but I really, really hope they're rocking an epic, epic mullet as they're talking about the value of it. And I hope that's the only haircut they do. I hope if you go in and get a haircut from that woman, she's like, I'm sorry, what you wanted is a mullet. Everything you said is wrong. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
Check out our Chad Benson Show Facebook page, where you can hang out or hang your grievances out to dry. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Chad will be back after the holidays. A much deserved extended vacation for Chad, and probably a really lovely time away from news of the day, I imagine. I do want to touch on this just briefly. We'll probably talk about it later on throughout the show. But the fact that we're learning more and more information about this suspect, this person, Daryl Brooks Jr., 39, in Milwaukee, who just killed people in a Christmas parade by driving a car at a high speed into them, including a bunch of grandmothers. The group that he hit, one of the groups he hit in the parade, were dancing grannies. That's what they went by. He hit little children, all of this. And what we found out in the last couple of days since the horrific story first broke is that he knew nobody in the parade, is that he wasn't fleeing the cops as was initially reported, but he was involved in a domestic dispute that had taken police. Police had responded to it a little bit earlier before leaving that scene, again, not being pursued or followed at all, and then deciding to just take lives. He is a gentleman who has a rap song out there that's anti-Trump. And he said a bunch of things that are anti-police in his life. And that's all we know about this person so far. Exact motive is still a question. An exact motive is still something I'm sure we will hope to someday gain, or just a person who is an evil, terrible person. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I know that my brain always jumps to the idea, and this might not be true in this one case, but you can't help but think about it. The idea that by glorifying violence in some ways, the ways in which our society does or our mainstream media does, if they think the issue is important enough for violence to be okay, might be part of the reason that stuff like this could happen. That someone out there somewhere thinks that, it's fine. I'm on the right side of the issues that the left side, I guess I should say, of the issues that mainstream media is on. So I'm one of those people who can take lives, and that's just going to be getting attention for an issue. And I'm not saying that's what occurred here. They still don't really know the motive or any of the reasons behind any of this, other than the fact that it's just a horrific, horrific thing. And that the suspect is a named person now, Daryl Brooks Jr. But I can't help but think, and I imagine I'm not even close to alone in thinking that there could be a connection to some of those things. And since it happened in Wisconsin, since the Rittenhouse case obviously occurred there a day or so before, you wonder if any of that played into it. And if this is someone who just believes, like, look, you know, our vice president is questioning a lawsuit. Our vice president is doing this and that. And by the way, real quick, and this is not the right time for this rant, I have a sillier thing I want to get to in just a second. But I think it's interesting that if you're a Democrat, you can question the core things that exist in our society. Hillary Clinton challenged the election she lost. People seem to forget that all the time because they only want to talk about how Trump challenges the election that he lost. But Hillary Clinton did this too. She said that obviously the Russians hacked everything and everything was fraud. And she said that for quite a while and had a lot of other Democrats saying that. But that was OK. We weren't up in arms the way we are about what Trump says, or at least, I guess, parts of our media and society weren't up in arms. And now the same thing happens with our legal system, with the jury system. The vice president can kind of casually say that she thinks it's broken and needs to be fixed. And that is a core aspect of our society, is it not? Isn't it as important as voting effectively to punish those who commit heinous crimes, to punish those who do bad things, and to just say blatantly that you think it's broken and needs to be fixed and a lot more needs to be done? And honestly, I'm not even sure if you followed all the facts of that case, because I feel as though the Rittenhouse case will be a demonstration to a lot of people who dive closer into it, that it actually demonstrates how well our legal system can work at times and how much video evidence helped to exonerate that individual of the crimes he was accused of. And yet the reality of all of this to me is that if you're a Democrat, you can question anything that we have in our society, or just blatantly lie about other stuff, like say that Americans are doing better financially while inflation is running rampant and we're getting closer and closer to more ridiculous spending. And all you're going to say is that everything's great. You're doing great. Everybody's doing great. Let's move on to the other issue. And if you're a Democrat, that's fine. If you're a Republican, I'm sure that the world would be on fire. All right. One other quick thing. I like this. I don't know why. This is a dad trying to convince his son, a little boy, that his pants are on backwards, and the son doesn't get it. He does, I guess, eventually turn the pants around, but I just like the fact that the son's like, nah, this is practical. This is the way these were designed, and this, of course, has gone viral.
Can I ask you something? Mm-hmm. Why are your back pockets in the front on your pants? Those are your back pockets. Those pockets go in the back.
So my butt is in front?
Your pants are on backwards. You need to flip your pants. You need to take your pants off and flip them.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. If that's what you say. I just love how reluctant he is.
You need to take your pants off and flip them.
Okay.
Okay. Right. If that's what you're saying, Dad, but I think that my pants are great because I now know what way everything's supposed to go. These pants are pointing the direction they're supposed to be. I don't even know how you do that, to be honest, how you put pants on backwards. I feel like that's a very difficult thing to achieve. And actually something else that I think our president was at one point, our last president, President Trump, was accused of doing, having pants on backwards. I don't know if you remember that, when he was rocking his suit. That's something I loved a whole lot. And I do not understand to this day why people would have thought that that actually is something that could have occurred at all. And yet so many people absolutely did think that. So that's where we are. All right. One other quick thing, and I do like this a lot. A woman went viral on social media for saying she has strict rules for her husband. These include not being allowed to have any female friends and not being allowed to text women for any reason. This is even women you work with. Over 500,000 views, and some people praised this person on social media. Her name is Bailey. She's a TikTok user who said that it's because of her faith, her Christianity, that she refuses to allow her husband to interact in most ways with women that aren't her. That's got to be insane. This feels like full-on insanity to me. If you can't have friends that are the opposite sex, I guess there's probably people who debate both sides of that. But you can't text women at all, even if it's, say, someone you work with, someone you have to text for a reason that has nothing to do with any sort of romantic thing. And she's like, no, can't do it. I'm sorry. It's part of the faith. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I can't believe she's winning this argument, by the way. I'd like to talk to the man. He was not involved at all. He's not part of the video. But I'd love to hear from him. I'd love to know a little bit more of why he thinks it's totally fine to follow a rule that intense. I will say this, and I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to say it. Bailey is attractive. Bailey, this girl is a very attractive person. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Happy to have you. Chad will be back after the holiday. Morning Joe had a hot take. I'm sure this is not surprising to a lot of people about Kyle Rittenhouse. This is just after Rittenhouse appeared on the Tucker Carlson Show and talked quite a bit in very, I think, reasonable ways about some of the lasting effects he will deal with of his trial and just how big of a deal it was to so many. But let's get to Morning Joe first and his thoughts for whatever reason. I don't know why I'm going to play this, but let's do it.
Americans don't like chaos, Mika. That's another reason why you look at the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and I follow the thinking of David French. Yes, he was not guilty. The jury found him not guilty. The defense couldn't prove, or the prosecution couldn't prove its case. At the same time, this guy's no hero. And these people on the far right, the fascist right that are trying to turn him into a hero, they're not doing the country a favor. They're not doing whatever party they belong to a favor. And they're not even doing Second Amendment rights a favor.
I don't understand this take at all. I don't get it. And it's not the idea that Rittenhouse is or isn't a hero. I don't even care about that. That's not even a part of the conversation that I want to get into at all. And I just don't care. But the idea that people who defend him, people on the right who might be lifting him up a lot because of the way in which the media narrative took hold and seemed to not be true in the court of law, and the way in which people who, even Morning Joe, I guess, claims at times to be a Republican and then at other times admits that he's not anymore, but he just used to be. But the way in which that all goes, the way in which they talk about this now is they're so confident in alluding to the idea that Rittenhouse is some sort of criminal, some sort of bad person, because he had a gun and he was at a protest on the wrong side, air quotes, of that protest to a lot of media. And whether or not he had any intention to use that gun that night or whether or not he brought it for his own protection, all that stuff, we can't figure it out. Here's the thing I want to do. You know what? Real quick. I have a bunch of audio. I'm going to play the audio. But I want to try a thought exercise on the radio with everybody. And this is probably a bad idea, but I'm going to try it. And before we do it, I just want to say this, that I have no factual knowledge. I have no reason to believe or not believe anything other than what you've seen in the courtrooms, anything that played out in the trial of Rittenhouse. I just want to throw out a concept, an idea, a potential series of events. Mentally, this is diving into the thought process behind all the people that were there that night. And it's trying to find the most, I guess, idyllic way or the way to turn everyone into a fairly innocent person caught in a pretty bad situation as best as I can. And I'm not saying this again. This is a lot of setup here. I'm not saying this again because I think that this is what occurred. I just feel like if we're going to add our own narratives to these stories, and this is what a lot of people on the left are doing when they're saying that Rittenhouse is still guilty, even though the court system found him innocent, they're adding their own narrative to it. Why don't we try it another way? What if Rittenhouse is someone, certainly someone connected to Kenosha, Wisconsin, with family and friends there, who believed that taking a gun was something that would, one, protect him, and two, cause anybody that was causing chaos, damage, destruction that night to leave him alone. And maybe as a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, he didn't really want to interact with anybody that night. This is an assumption. This is me just throwing an idea out there. If that's all he did, if he brought his gun the same way anyone would bring anything like that to an event like that so that they're not really messed with per se, and they're not doing it for an evil reason or anything like that, I think this is something a lot of people do, not necessarily a gun, but something similar to protect themselves. That alone is the action that so many on the left are saying is what proves that he's actually a bad person or not a hero, according to Morning Joe, when it's actually a fairly human reaction, especially at 17 years old, when you're going to something that's as chaotic and as dangerous as a riot, because it's not a peaceful protest, it's a riot. And then let's say outside of the first individual, Rosenbaum, who to a lot of people had kind of been proven to be a instigator, someone screaming and yelling at people. This is witness testimony that he was going to cut their throats out and kill them that night. And someone who lunged for Kyle Rittenhouse's gun, and Rittenhouse fired his gun to protect himself. That's what the court of law told us. Outside of that individual, let's say the second person who got shot that night, Anthony Huber, who was trying to use his skateboard to hit Rittenhouse, misunderstood the situation. And again, I'm not saying this occurred. I'm just throwing out the possibility and thought there was an active shooter at something that's already as chaotic as it was and was, according to Huber's girlfriend, trying to protect people. So they don't know what's going on. They do attack the person holding the gun, and the person holding the gun, who was just attacked by somebody else, chooses to fire the gun again. And then also there's a guy that flies into a image for a second, kicks Kyle in the head, and then runs off. So all that occurred. And then you finally have the last individual who pointed a gun at Kyle. So what if everybody involved, and I do subtract one individual in my own, I guess, version of building this narrative, really just had the chaos of the moment take over, and no one intended for any of the things to happen to happen. That's possible. That could have been what occurred that night. I'm not saying it is. And so for a Democrat or for a media person to just throw out any other imagined possibility and just create their own narrative in their head that Kyle went there with a gun, with an assault rifle, is what they'd say, intent to hurt people, and that even though he wound up defending himself with his gun, they still think he's a bad guy. I mean, Black Lives Matter responded to Rittenhouse in his interview saying that he supports them by saying that they don't, and then some bad words with him. But that's fine. Let's get to the audio. I just think it's so interesting that this narrative creation thing is something we can absolutely all do, and something I hopefully demonstrated that I just did that could potentially disprove any of the other versions that a lot of people on the left are just clinging to. Things like this. Rittenhouse responded to or was asked a question by Tucker Carlson about President Biden calling him a white supremacist, not just a couple times, but actually in like a campaign ad.
What did you make of the President of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character for him to say something like that.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. And he's saying a lot of things in very legal senses now, which makes me feel as though he's going to be litigious. And I think he has the right to be. And I think a lot of people have said that they're probably going to help fund any sort of lawsuit going after a lot of the mainstream media that is categorizing things so matter-of-factly one way. There is also this. Rittenhouse continues to feel as though he's not really safe. He's been acquitted of a crime. He's obviously not in legal jeopardy anymore in that sense. Maybe a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit of some kind, which apparently also I think a lot of people on the left are begging to have happen for whatever reason. But Rittenhouse is saying that he wants to go back to living his normal life. He's not sure he can do that.
Do you feel like your life's been destroyed by this?
I feel my life has been extremely defamed by it. I don't think I would be able to go out and get a job and not have to deal with harassment. But I'm at a place now to where I have to have people with me because people want to kill me just because I defended myself, and they're too ignorant to look at the facts of what happened.
That's a pretty strong statement from Kyle Rittenhouse for sure. There was also this, which I thought was very interesting. He had no running water, he said. He told Tucker Carlson in his jail cell. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell anybody for quite a while, and he wound up smelling pretty bad, I guess. And he even made light of that at the tail end of this piece of the interview that I'm going to play here. I just thought it was so interesting to hear this kid, 17, 18 now, I guess, an adult legally now, talk about how he kept his mouth shut when he didn't have running water and just made do because he's the kind of person that doesn't want attention. I know some people are going to say that that's not accurate. I don't really care. This is a story he told, and I believe it, that he existed in this jail cell for quite some time without the ability to shower.
I had a desk. I had a shower. I had a toilet. I had a TV. I had a tablet. But I didn't have running water.
Seriously?
I had a phone also, but I did not have running water, so I didn't shower until November 20th.
How long
From
is
October
that?
31st to November 20th, I did not take a shower.
That's disgusting.
I smelled terrible. I felt sick. I lost weight. My health was degrading. If I was in there for a month longer, I would have probably been in a hospital.
Wait, you had no running water?
No running water in my jail cell.
Did they let you out?
To talk with my attorneys. I didn't really say anything about my running water because I don't like to bring attention to myself. I didn't want to draw any problems with any of the guards. So I was like, I'm just gonna shut up and not mention that I don't have running water. But I didn't shower until November 20th. And when I showered, I took like a 3-hour shower. I had like blood, my skin was bleeding because my skin was coming off of my body. It was just the nastiest thing ever. And I feel bad for Dave, who's been with me through the beginning, who's helped start FreeKyleUSA.org. I feel bad for him because he had to deal with my smell for that 3-hour car ride. Yeah. So I give him all the credit in the world.
That last joke is pretty on par with an 18-year-old kid. And I got to be honest, when you heard this guy talk, when you heard the interview with Tucker Carlson, and I know a lot of people are going to say that it's bias. It's, you know, it didn't challenge Kyle, whatever you say. It's still interesting to hear that this individual is so capable of stepping out of himself in some ways and talking about things that I think a lot of people at his age probably couldn't comprehend as well as it seems he comprehends them. And then talking about other things like that, where he said he made do because he didn't want to cause more attention or get bad treatment from guards. So he went 3 weeks without a shower while in jail, and his first legal team, probably capable of getting him out of the jail sooner, choosing not to because they thought it was better for him, something he also touched on in the interview. We're going to take a break a lot more. This is the Chad Benson Show. Craig Collins filling in.
Being antisocial sucks. Hang with Chad's friends on Facebook, The Chad Benson Show. And if you just need some alone time, head on over to Twitter at Chad Benson Show. Either way, we can't wait to meet the real you.
This is The Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Happy to have you. Chad will be back after the holiday. He is deserving of his extended vacation, of course. And I'm jealous of the fact that he probably doesn't have to follow the news of the day. There's a lot of things out there. I do want to touch on this real quick. A 27-year-old Florida man was acquitted of second-degree felony murder and 3 counts of attempted murder of a police officer on the same day that Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And we're not talking about this at all, which is very odd. I saw this in just a couple publications. It's not a lot of places. And actually, producer Phil is the one who first turned me onto it, which is very interesting. The TC Palm is the one that reported it. AJ Coffey IV was acquitted by a jury of the various murder charges which date back to a 2017 firefight between a sheriff's office, special weapons and tactical team, and the individual. And I guess his girlfriend, 21-year-old Ulterior Woods, I think is her name, died after being shot 10 times by SWAT officers. And Coffey testified that he returned fire because he didn't know it was the cops, I guess. That, just nothing. Just no news anywhere. It's very odd that this story seems to deserve no conversation as to whether or not this means our legal system is broken or our legal system is working. Or I guess it proves nothing. It doesn't matter. 27-year-old Florida guy killed, people and felony murder charges, all of that. Also the same day. It's nuts that it's the same day. I can't get over that. All right, I want to move on. Other stuff in the news. You should volunteer, apparently, according to a new study. Volunteering can boost your resume if you're someone that's looking for that next gig. And a lot of people are, which is very interesting. It's very interesting that our president just continues to talk about how great we're doing, how you're making more money at your job when businesses are still struggling to fill open positions. And a whole lot of people are quitting jobs. Month after month, we have just record numbers of people quitting. And the biggest reason why people say they're doing this is because they want to have a better job. They want something that means more to them, something that provides more, I guess, life value, whatever it might be, after dealing with the pandemic. I'm not judging. I do think everybody inevitably probably needs to put food on the table one way or another, and we don't all get our dream job. But if that's what you want to chase and you can afford to chase it, be my guest. And apparently in doing that, maybe you should volunteer, because not only does it make you feel better, not only can it get your foot in the door in some bigger places, again, according to a recent study, but beyond all that, it actually is a huge boost to the old resume. Just like I guess it was before you tried to get into a fancy college. You wanted to have that rounded out resume when you were trying to apply places. Apparently the same holds true for those elite jobs that maybe have a lot of competition, not the jobs apparently that people are struggling to get workers in. There's also this in the news. I don't know how this is going to make you feel. I don't know if this is a positive, a negative. I feel like it's a negative. Maybe a lot of people don't care at all. Earth might have a Saturn-like ring around it in the future, and that ring may be made up of space trash. That's what they're saying. All kinds of just like satellites and broken things that just over time wind up just slowly orbiting the Earth. Apparently, Bezos wants to send 3,200 more satellites into space. Elon Musk has a plan to send 2,000 into space. There's going to be a lot more from other companies. About 40,000, I guess, are projected to launch in the next coming decades, 15 times the number currently in the sky. And because of that, we're eventually just going to have this this ring of broken space trash. And I don't know what we do with that. There is an idea. It's been thrown out there. You build a giant rocket-like thing with a giant arm, and that arm just sort of pushes off the trash. It just kind of scoops it and sends it out into the rest of space, and then we stop worrying about it. I don't know if that'll work. I think it'd be hilarious to see. And I think more importantly, since we go crazy about like the eclipse things and all the blood moons that occur, I just want some news guy in the future, maybe a future I don't live to see, talk about how the space arm can be seen in the sun because it's passing by while it's removing our space trash. That to me would feel like an interesting a moment to reach in our society. But I guess I won't get there, I'm assuming, because it's going to take a while to collect all those 40,000 satellites and then for them all to slowly fall apart. But just great. Great news. I don't know if you care. Also, this, just real quick, again, these are just information pieces you might need. Apparently, Kool-Aid had to recall a bunch of their products, their teas and their lemonades. So don't drink those. They might be contaminated with metal. Happy holidays, people. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins, and I'm just going to let you know you guys are missing out. There's a off-air chat happening between Phil and I that probably should be a podcast someday. That's all I'm saying. I won't say anything more because I don't want to ruin it. But maybe we'll put that out in another form of social media at some point because it's pretty fun. Let's get to some of the news of the day, some of the things that Americans are talking about a lot. Apparently, a new poll says, and I'm surprised we had to study this at all, that you should not bring up politics during the Thanksgiving meal. I love this so much. And there's actually a little bit of data that says just how unlikely you are to change someone else's opinion at this dinner. And it's very, very high that they will keep their own opinion, no matter how great of an argument you make. So just don't do it. I feel like when I see this stuff, though, and again, I'm not really surprised by this. This is how our society has functioned for so, so long. And then we actually did this a lot more in a lot of other places in our lives. We just didn't bring up political issues where we might have disagreed or other things where we weren't going to have a good time with someone that we wanted to be friends with or whatever you want to call it. But I do think now in our society that it's a bit of a shame that we have to identify so strongly with these political issues and these political conversations. They become such a core aspect of who we are that you actually really shouldn't talk about politics and other things at Thanksgiving with your family, with the people you're supposed to be closest to in your life, unless they happen to agree with you, because it's gonna go tremendously, tremendously poorly. There's also just this in the news really quickly, and I just find it very interesting, too, that a way to a foodie's heart is really through making them lovely, lovely meals. I don't know if that's surprising. 3 out of 4 Americans seem to think that they're a bit of a foodie. That surprised me. But all of them said that this would be the most impressive skill to have, more impressive than other things, that if you're a great cook, you're going to win over a lot of people, and especially at this time of year. And I'm a terrible cook, so I question all the time why I somehow wound up getting married and why the missus, who is a wonderful cook, doesn't, you know, force me to learn how to make more meals. All right, I want to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse a little bit more. I can't help but continue to touch on this conversation. I thought it was really interesting. One of the things that's been brought up a bit, and then we're actually going to move on to the Wisconsin things we've learned about the person who decided to take lives at a Christmas parade. But before we do that, Rittenhouse mentioned his first attorneys, the people that were representing him, the people that he inevitably fired for what I think was a really smart and valuable final defense team. But these attorneys were collecting money in Rittenhouse's name while leaving him in jail. And also, it seemed at some point, and I'll play the audio in just a second, that the attorneys started the narrative that Kyle was part of a militia when he doesn't even know what that is.
Linwood was raising money on my behalf, and he held me in jail for 87 days, disrespected my wishes, put me on media interviews, which I should never have done, which he said, oh, you're going to go talk to the Washington Post, which was not a good idea, along with John Pierce. They said I was safer in jail instead of at home with my family. Sometime in September, September 5th, I want to say, they had over $1 million and bail was set and able to be posted in September. So they could have had me sign the waiver for extradition and had me back in Wisconsin, and I could have been bailed out by mid-September. But they wanted to keep me in jail until November 20th.
And this is also when he talks about the fact that they were the ones, these former lawyers, talking about some of the ways in which narrative building, I guess, as in a way that completely was inaccurate to anything that Kyle would have told them or thought himself that day. He was not part of any sort of mini militia or anything like that, in his own words. But so interesting that lawyers would kind of run with some of those narratives as well.
So you're in jail for 87 days. Do you have a sense of how your case is being talked about in the outside world?
Not really when I'm in jail, but once I am bailed out, John Pierce said I was in an unorganized militia, which is just blatantly false. I didn't know what a militia was.
And wait, your lawyer said you were in a militia?
John Pierce said that, and it's blatantly false. I didn't know what a militia was until after the fact, until November like 25th, after I was watching some of the interviews he did. I was like, I'm not in a militia. I don't know what that is.
Sorry to laugh.
And I was like, what the heck? And I'm like, no wonder people are saying I'm in a militia. It's because he painted that narrative, which he should never have gone there.
It's just very interesting, again, to me, so many things that we learned even last night about some of the ways in which Kyle feels as though even when he's stuck in jail and not getting bailed out, as his initial lawyers are raising more than enough money to do it, they're starting to create a narrative that he's not at all involved in creating, which is just odd. Again, all right, let's move on. Five counts of homicide were recommended, and the person of interest in the Wisconsin Christmas parade, just horrific, a tragedy, whatever you want to call it, just the horrific taking of life. That is Daryl Edwards Edward Brooks, 39. He will be charged with five of those counts. The people that died were between the ages of 52 and 81, and several other people were injured, including several children. When we talk about this case, when we talk about some of the things we've learned since, there was this initial sort of narrative that maybe he was running, fleeing from cops who were pursuing him. That's been debunked. That did not occur. He was involved in some sort of domestic situation that involved cops before leaving that, but he wasn't being chased at all. He then chose to just take lives. He purposefully went around a barricade, purposefully sped up, and purposefully hit people he didn't know. What we also know about this person is that he has a rap song out there that's very anti-former President Donald Trump and very political. And he also apparently, I guess, at you know, points in his life has said or done other things that are very anti-cop. And so a lot of the things that apparently seem to matter to Daryl Edward Brooks are things that were coming up after the Kyle Rittenhouse decision and the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And so when you talk about these two things together, when you connect these dots, and they're not saying that they're connected, by the way. Cops are still saying they don't know the motive. They're still confused about some stuff, and we're still going to take a lot more time and a legal process and all of the things we're supposed to take before we create the narrative. We don't want to create it too early. But it just makes you take a step back for a second and think about the way in which our society is talking about some things like violence, when it occurs at a protest that turns into a riot, that turns into looting. I mean, even to go back to the Rittenhouse case for a second, this is a person who showed up with a gun, yes, to a situation that is in no way, shape, or form a peaceful protest. And yet society as a whole still doesn't really focus on the fact that the people were looting and rioting and doing crazy things, things that you're not used to seeing every day in our society, all because most media glorifies it to some extent, or most media excuses it by saying that the reason that they're doing it makes sense to them. And so because of that, that violence is okay. If we find out through the whole process that still has to take place that this person was very upset about the court case and the decision in the Rittenhouse case, and because of that chose to kill innocent people at a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, what do we say then? What does our society do in response to that information, if that's the information we learn? And I don't know that we have it yet or that we will ever have it, but I'm just curious what the next step is. Do people start to talk more and more about how, all right, you know, this encouragement of violence, this excusing of these things because we think that this issue or that issue is more important than another has enough value for us to talk about it a certain way, but we have to pull back on that because we're encouraging these people to do these things that are horrific? Or do we all just continue to pretend that that doesn't exist, that there is no version of any of it? And I know the people who choose to harm others are choosing to do this individually, that there is, you know, a lot of bad already within anybody that takes life in the way that the person, and right now it's just a suspect, but the person who drove that car in Wisconsin chose to take life, which is just horrific in and of itself. But it makes you wonder if there's a way in which our society can even come back from some of these conversations that we're having and some of the ways in which we seem to need to have them. And I want to touch just one more time on this court case out of Florida, 27-year-old person, a black guy, which I guess is relevant, although it probably shouldn't be, but it is, who got acquitted of a murder charge as well on the same day as Rittenhouse, a murder charge that involved cops. And we're not even talking about it. We're not even having a conversation about that one. The white 17-year-old, 17 at the time, 18 now, is just a dominant story in the news. And so many people on the left in media or in politics so comfortable insinuating that Rittenhouse is still guilty of a crime, even after being acquitted in our legal system, and nobody even talks about the other one. It doesn't come up. Nobody cares because, one, I guess the court case was from an incident that happened a few years ago, but two, because it doesn't fit the narrative and the conversation that we seem to need to have. I almost feel like we're playing bingo in the world of news. You have your bingo card. It's already printed out. You just want to hit your bingo. And so you find the topics that hit those bingo things and you ignore all the other things of the day. And then you move on and you feel like you've done a good job, that you've succeeded. And obviously, of course, we have not, if that's the road we continue to go down. And if we do find out that the person who chose to take life in Wisconsin was motivated by some of the things in the news and not necessarily fearful of repercussions because they thought they were on the more acceptable side of those things that were making them angry. And I will just say this, I guess, before taking a quick break, violence is never the answer. And I know that that sounds idyllic. I know that that sounds like the kind of thing that is so much harder to live than to simply speak. And I guess there's situations where that's probably not true if you're defending yourself and whatnot. But I err on the side of Martin Luther King Jr. And I get attacked for that because I'm a white dude. And apparently I'm not allowed to think that he said good things because that's bad, or I'm co-opting a message or using it incorrectly. But he believed, and I hopefully I'm getting this right for anyone that wants to attack me on it, that you do more good by peacefully raising awareness of an issue you want to see changed in our society, because more and more people will be attracted to support and help you gain that change in our society. And you fail utterly and completely when you change your message into one of violence and not one of peace. And that's all I'd like to say on some of the ways in which we cover some of these topics. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
This is Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in, although I feel like I guess I should be in Mexico with Gavin Newsom. I love the fact that Newsom, and I'm sure that a lot of people in California do not love this fact, would extend that state of emergency and then bounce. Because that nothing says unfair, different set of standards than being like, all right, I'm going to do this and we all have to follow these rules. And then also I'm going to Mexico. I'm going with my family and I'll be back in a little while. That's a real story. And yet it feels like it's the Onion. I feel like that has to be a fake headline, and yet it's not. J.K. Rowling is also now saying that some transgender activists are attacking her to the extent that they're doxing her. They're putting her address and other contact information out on social media so people can get to where she actually lives in order to continue to confront and do whatever else they want to do to her. And she's been dealing with that for quite some time now. J.K. Rowling, of course, the author of the Harry Potter books, and someone who apparently has said things that made a lot of people very mad. Things like the stuff Dave Chappelle jokes about. And since I don't want hate letters on a show that I'm just filling in on, I'm not going to say anything about those topics. I'm just going to move on. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there is a new trend, an urban dictionary trend. If you don't know what that is, well, it's a website that you probably don't want to go to. If you don't know what it is, you probably don't want to go. But apparently what people are doing are defining themselves using the urban dictionary, using the dictionary that's not quite as flattering or doesn't say all appropriate things. So essentially, I guess this trend is you look up your name and then you see what it says about you. And you might even share that on social media. I found mine. And so I encourage you to do this. If you're, again, comfortable with the humor that is a little bit more adult variety. But Craig, according to the Urban Dictionary, is a sweet and quiet guy that you've known forever and would think to be a timid and shy person. But it turns out he is, and now I have to change some of the wording that they've chosen to put here, the best lover that you'll ever have in your life. That is Craig. My week was horrible until I got to see Craig. Then everything got a lot better. Apparently, that's what someone would say about me. Just put it out there. If you want to search your own name, even if you want to tweet that at Chad Benson Show, I would be thrilled if you tweet the definitions of your names via the Urban Dictionary to our social media pages. Because every time I fill in, I try to find something that when Chad gets back on Monday, he'll be like, why did this happen? What are they doing? So go ahead. Tell us what Urban Dictionary says about you. Also, I saw this story. The original Gerber baby is 95. It's 95th birthday for Ann Turner Cook, who was first chosen in 1928 to be the Gerber baby. I went ahead and looked up Ann's name on Urban Dictionary. I don't know why I did that. A-N-N, because there's multiple ways to spell it. A-N-N in Urban Dictionary says Ann is the most beautiful girl in the world. She loves music. She's caring. The sweetest person. Seriously, she is just awesome. Ann is awesome. I love that definition when it's connected to the Gerber baby, because I didn't know where that was going to go. I decided I was going to do the trend to Ann Turner Cook and just see how it went for her. And in the exactly appropriate fashion, it went surprisingly well, because Urban Dictionary is not so great for everybody at those kind of things. But again, it's pretty good for her. But happy 95th birthday to the original girl. I wonder what it's like to go to be famous for something like that. In all honesty, to have that be, you know, what people know you for, or how, and I imagine that people might still know or react to some of the things that existed that long ago about the original Gerber baby. And I wonder when it comes up, even in a conversation, that you say to someone, and by the way, I was the original Gerber baby. I also like this story a lot. A family used a Tesla to ward off an animal. This is something that, again, I guess is an animal you might not even be aware of, depending on where you live in this country. But the Tesla was enough to scare off the javelins. Now, hold on. We're having an audio issue here. I guess we're having this audio issue. I didn't know about this. The javelina. I just said the word incorrectly and was laughing at myself with my microphone off. And my producer's like, hey, what happened to you? Here's the audio again.
There's a family of javelina out there.
You know, it was kind of a neat experience. It's like, you know, our friend had never seen javelina, so she's like taking pictures. But after about 5 or 6 minutes, I'm like, okay, we're like trapped in a house because there's all these javelinas outside.
My husband had an idea to use his Tesla.
So the Tesla was sitting right there, and I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens if I move this big car right behind them, how they'll react. And luckily, they got freaked out and just
took
off.
They just scatter. They just run. They just take off. But yeah, that is apparently a hack, a life hack that very few of us can use. If you have a bunch of javelina in the area, just fire up the old Tesla, and they are very, very afraid of that. I love that that is also something that has gone viral. Non-fungible token NFTs that are attached to different things are becoming more and more prevalent in our society. The newest one is attaching them to bottles of rare booze. This is a real story. Some breweries, some companies that have, you know, very rare forms of alcohol are adding an NFT to it. So even if you drink the liquor, you might someday be rich from the non-fungible token. And on that note, I take a break because I don't understand our world. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts. Independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Happy to have you. Happy almost holidays. Apparently, our airline travel is almost at the pre-pandemic levels. Thanksgiving challenges airlines as U.S. travelers near those same peaks we used to have in the past. This is a headline a few different places, and I find it interesting because what do we want then? I know that it's probably going to be stressful for a lot of people traveling, and I hope the airlines can handle it all, and I hope there aren't staffing issues that may be caused by people choosing not to get a vaccine. All things that have been occurring recently. But I also just hope that we're capable of handling the typical traffic of a holiday season, because we want all of our industries to return to normal. We want them to be capable of you know, and we also want people traveling, no matter what Dr. Fauci says about those who are vaccinated and those who are unvaccinated, and whether or not you can have Thanksgiving. Or I even love the New York Times, an organization that I don't attack quite as often as some do. And their advice, I know that this was out there recently, that if you're an unvaccinated kid, you should eat quickly at Thanksgiving. That's real advice that came from the publication, the New York Times. They said that if you have an unvaccinated child encouraged that kid to eat quickly on Thanksgiving, which is just the nuttiest thing I think I've ever heard. But there we go. Our airlines are responding, hopefully, in the best of ways, as we will see a lot of additional travel. If you're in the Bay Area, if you're in San Francisco, you've been celebrating the holiday, interestingly or oddly, by watching people loot. Looting and other things have been taking place consecutive days. Groups of 40 or 50 teenagers will show up wielding hammers, smashing glass, just stealing stuff from jewelry stores, all kinds of establishments, and then just walking away. And that's their way of shopping for the holidays, I guess, or their version of a Black Friday sale is just commit brazen crimes. Tons and tons of shoplifters doing this on consecutive days now, something we're continuing to see in the San Francisco area, and something that just, it's out of control to a degree that you never even expected to see in our society. And it's got to be fixed. You have to do something when this is what a store is going to struggle with. The amount of just increase in these kind of crimes and the petty crimes and the theft and everything else is insane. And it needs to be dealt with. And you can't have kids get so brazen now, teenagers, that they're going to show up in a group that size and just take whatever they want. Shifting gears again, let's talk just quickly about Afghanistan. This is very sad news, and I just want to touch on it because, you know, we talked about the way in which we just kind of up and left and did things about as poorly as possible there, and certainly we lost American lives in the process, and all that is a tragedy. Now you have this story that Afghans, because of an economic meltdown there following the Taliban takeover, they're now selling off babies, selling off children to be married off when they grow up for thousands of dollars for dowry payments. They're just, you know, doing this. Some families are, so that they avoid starvation. That's a real story. This is out there in the world, and it's being reported on more and more. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a teenage girl or actually someone much younger than that. They're just doing that to eat, because obviously the Taliban being in control is nothing like what Democrats seem to pretend or think it was or say it was. And I'm not saying that that means we have to go back and, you know, fight a war all over again. But it's just another demonstration of how odd it is in our society for some of our politicians to almost defend organizations that wind up doing these sort of things once they are entirely in power. Another story that I liked a lot, just because I feel like it might motivate you this holiday season, or at least it might motivate me a little bit, is that doing housework is actually better for both your brain and your body. Apparently, doing household chores will help with your memory. New studies say that it boosts your higher cognitive functions, your ability to do things like multitask or solve complex problems. And I guess it's just because of the repetition of the housework. And then also, the study demonstrates that because of the physical activity involved, no matter how old you get and no matter what pace you do it at, it is much more valuable than just lounging around. So I guess this is going to be proof as to why my wife will outlive me like crazy, because she is the one doing more of the chores. I'm not doing it on purpose. I don't want any of the hate letters. I don't want to say like I'm being a terrible sexist man. I just have a different tolerance for dirty things than my wife does, and she cleans more things than I do, and apparently it's going to harm me and both my mental and my physical health, which probably she agrees with already. I love that. I will touch on this kind of quickly. Coronavirus, the cases are ticking up again, and more concern is being thrown out there from medical experts or the WHO. There's several organizations saying that we might have another spike in cases or even a spike in deaths. And I also saw just recently an article that said that most Americans are over coronavirus. They're done with having that conversation or thinking about it or dealing with it in any way, shape, or form. Now, the reason I hope that all of those fear type of stories that are out there right now are kind of overblown or incorrect are because of some of the developments we're having. And I do love this one, and I wanted to touch on this one. According to Reuters, there is a brand new experimental chewing gum that may reduce the spread of COVID-19. So I guess we can abandon masks and start chewing gum if these studies continue to be valuable. But this experimental gum apparently is very good at reducing the saliva you have in your mouth, and that would then prevent you from transmitting the virus to others if you happen to have COVID-19. So I don't know if the gum would be like prescribed or if you could just pick it up in the store and everybody could have it and then no more masks. But I just love the fact that this is another thing out there. Of course, there's the medicine. The Merck is studying that might cut down on cases significantly or actually seriousness of illness for those who get COVID. So I think as we develop more and more strategies, more and more therapies, more and more solutions to that problem, that hopefully what we will see is dwindling numbers, even if we have some of these medical professionals warning us that things are about to get, bad again. In other news, and I like this story a lot for a couple reasons, apparently there's concern in the Democratic Party about the resistance that our current president has to talking to the media or being in public at all. Quote, Biden's low-key media strategy has drawn concerns from allies. This is nothing new. This is tremendously similar to everything he's done, every part of the process from when he ran for president to how he's handled his time in office. I don't think there's any chance that this would change significantly. The actual story goes on to demonstrate how our past president, Donald Trump, was a media maximalist and that our current president, Biden, seems to want to hide from all media, all press, all the time. And I do love the fact that they're now playing him off whenever he does speak, whenever he does actually hold a any kind of press conference before he even is asked questions. Now there's exit music that's getting played, which to me is just fantastic. But I love that we'd be this late in for some of the people, some of the experts, and I guess even some of the friendlier people in the world of celebrity or media trying to encourage our president to be a more vocal president. Because definitely if you voted for that guy, you didn't vote for him because of anything that he said or did, in my opinion. You voted for him because you hated somebody else. You hated our last president because he ran on a platform of I'm barely there. I barely exist as a person. And it doesn't make any sense to assume that he would change it this late in the game now with his approval rating so very much in the tank. All right, one other quick story and then I will take a break. And I'm going to tell you this story because of how, I don't know, amused it made me, but it's certainly going to be an off the beaten path news story for you because it involves a man in Turkey. This Turkish man was trying to frame a dog. This is all real. So apparently in this town, there's a stray dog that's tremendously popular, has a social media following. People love this dog. The name of the dog is Boji, I believe. And this one guy, this one older guy who I guess rides the same train as this celebrity stray dog, hates the dog so much that he brought on poop. Somehow he acquired dog poop, brought it onto the train and tried to frame the dog to get him kicked off of the train. Again, a celebrity dog. There is a video. Police were involved. They cracked the case. I don't know if there was a trial of some kind, but the man is now, I think, banned from the train because he tried to frame an animal that's beloved by many people in the area. This shows how crazy. I know I'm kidding. I know this story is tremendously a joke. It's a real story. It's not a joke in that sense. But it shows how divided we can be to have one person, you know, like just mad at the Twitter account of a stray dog and the amount of people on a train that love it so much that he'd want to frame it for going to the bathroom on the train so that it would get kicked out and have to live on the street again and not be on the train at all. That is, I don't even know what we call that because that's not a Karen. That's not any of the things that we use. This guy's name is Murat because, he's a guy in Turkey. So maybe we just start making that a trend. Maybe a hashtag Murat when you feel like somebody's going nuts and when they're doing something like framing a dog for going to the restroom on a train. I don't know why I love it so much, but I feel like that is a great sign of the times. Quick break, a lot more. This is the Chad Benson Show. Craig Collins filling in.
No snowflake zone. Uninformed opinions are in danger of melting. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to have you with us. Lots and lots to discuss, of course. I should just say this. The Chad will be back after the holiday. Much deserved extended vacation for him. Apparently, there's going to be less muscle cars in the world. Although, actually, I guess that's technically untrue. as Dodge dropped a bombshell in the last 24 hours that by 2024, gone are the Charger, the Challenger, at least the way we know them, and in their place will be electric vehicles that'll start arriving sooner rather than later. Less and less of the really awesome American muscle cars on the road because, you know, apparently we're trying to make things right in other ways by having all these electric vehicles. I will say I'm tremendously disappointed in news like this because I have not yet to own the Charger or the Challenger, but I was hoping one day to get it done. And there's nothing like having it actually sound the way that you expect it to sound. And it did remind me about when they started to make more and more electric motorcycles that they had to brainstorm how to bring the noises back because they were actually dangerous to drive on the highway if they made no sound at all. Cars use that as one of the ways to find a motorcycle driver. So I don't think that that'll be the case necessarily, but I think that you're going to have to find a lot of ways to at least supplement some of that fun that you have in a vehicle like that by making it fake but believable noise. And I don't want to be the guy trying to figure that out. Also, there is a debate now on a phrase. Apparently, some people feel as though the play it by ear phrase is actually supposed to be play it by air. And I don't understand why or how. This goes back to the I could care less situation, or I couldn't care less that people kind of say the colloquial terms versus the terms that maybe become just stuck in our conscious. But the correct answer is play it by ear, not play it by air. And people are debating it. 3.4% of people somehow think that that right answer is the one, the crazier one, which doesn't sound like a lot. When a lot of those people are all on social media together creating this firestorm of I guess, arguments, which apparently is a thing that's happening, which is, to me, hilarious. And apparently there's even some hashtags now on those social media platforms that you just have to figure out how to make it all work, how to get around the individuals who want to say play it by air. And I don't even know what they think they're saying when they say that, by the way. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to figure this out. I'm going to play it by the way that the plane flies. Play it by the way, I don't know, the way that something flows in the wind. I'm going to play it by air. But I just love the fact that there's a debate on that topic at all. Other things in the news, I do like this a lot. You probably heard this story, although you might not have. There was a mom that was dropping her kid off in Texas at school and embarrassing him so well that it'd go viral. Just yelling she loved him, yelling all kinds of things at the 12-year-old, and everybody thought it was hilarious. Well, the son has finally gotten some payback. I do love the fact that this occurred at all, and I think it's a pretty good one. You be the judge of this.
I love you.
I love you too.
I hope you have a marvelous day.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you. Hope you have a great day. Don't forget to put on your adult diapers when you get to work so you don't have another accident. Love you.
I love you. Bye.
I do have a question about this family, though, now, since the mom started it and did a bunch of things to embarrass the kid. And now the kid is embarrassing the mom back. This happens for the rest of their life, right? These two people, this very silly version of kind of, you know, turning the tables on a mom and her kid is just they cannot go back to the days of not embarrassing each other in public. And they have to keep upping the ante, I think, for all of us to be amused on the internet. I think that's the only way to live. And I feel bad for this kid. I know he's 12 right now. Whenever he gets his first girlfriend, I feel like that's going to be a historic level of trolling. But it needs to happen. It needs to be a thing now, and I want more. This last one, too, I do like this a lot. This is a homeowners association getting very mad in Florida at a person who decided to put their Christmas tree up early, their Christmas lights up before Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of people feel that this is wrong, but I don't think that getting the homeowners association involved and getting fines and maybe forcing people to pull things down is the right approach. And this homeowner seems to agree with me that they not only probably won't listen, but think it's real stupid this is happening.
Right before Christmas, Merry Christmas to us. Yeah. I mean, who could be a Grinch to kind of just hand this out? I don't know.
They complained about either the lights or the decorations, which led the community manager to investigate it. If there's enough of the community that wants that change, and I believe generally the community association or the West Chase will listen to the residents and will make changes.
So we got to take our lights now, which we are not going to do.
I just love the last part. So we got to take our lights down because we're not going to do that.
We got to take our lights now, which we are not going to do.
We're not going to do it. No matter what they say, no matter what kind of fines they levy at us, we're going to keep them lights up because we want to have Christmas early. I get it. I get the people that say it's too early for that. I get that it should be after Thanksgiving. I understand all of it. But I don't know. I feel like the last 2 years we can let some people slide in some of these worlds and we don't have to, you know, get the fines out, get the pitchforks to some extent out to make sure that somebody goes ahead and takes down any kind of Christmas cheer that they're putting up in their yard. And this person does not sound like they're going to play along at all. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if we get further and further, deeper and deeper into that situation too, and how high the fines will be and whether or not common sense prevails in this situation. And also, I am curious how much of the rest of the neighborhood, how much of the community is complaining about this, because it made it sound like it might be a lot of people, but I would think that it's probably just a couple. But again, that guy's not going to listen.
Which we are not going to do.
We're not going to do it. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Happy to have you here. Chad will be back after the holidays. Extended vacation for him. Well deserved. Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse spoke to Tucker Carlson last night. Some of the interesting things that were talked about include the fact that our current president, a couple different times, labeled Rittenhouse a white supremacist, and that that is something that Rittenhouse will probably take legal action on, which will be very, very interesting to see how that plays out. I know a lot of people will be donating to the campaign, the legal funds that would be going after the president for this. But Rittenhouse, in very legal terms, kind of set the issue.
What did you make of the president of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character for him to say something like that.
Defaming my character for saying something like that. That could be a defamation lawsuit, to say the very least. Rittenhouse also spoke about his future, the fact that he'd like to just go to school to learn how to be a nurse or maybe something else, maybe go into law. And he's worried if he's going to be capable of doing that.
I'm hoping I can live a quiet, stress-free life and be free of any intimidation or harassment and just go on with my life as a normal 18-year-old kid attending college.
So you're going to go to college?
I am in college. I'm a student at Arizona State University.
What I mean, are you going to go to campus? And
I think I am. I want to. It's a lot of things we have to look into, so I don't know for sure yet, but I do intend on going in campus and pursuing a career in nursing. I may change it. I've been looking into law. I may want to become a lawyer. I haven't completely decided yet, but I've been looking. I want to be a nurse, so I've been doing the prerequisites for that.
Nurse or lawyer, that's what Rittenhouse would like to be if he is capable of doing that. And as he said, living a stress-free, normal life. And he was acquitted of any crime, so he should have the right to do that. Also in the news, the Milwaukee DA did admit that they screwed up in letting the Waukesha suspect out on bond just days before the Christmas parade attack, which is just terrible. In so many different ways to think about how horrific that experience would have been for people that were just trying to celebrate a holiday and then to have someone just senselessly take lives the way in which this person did. But this person got out in bond just days before, and a quote, internal review of the decision, according to a letter obtained by a local reporter, is in the works because the most recent case against Mr. Daryl Brooks was appropriately charged. The office said, noting that on November 5th, the office charged Brooks with second-degree reckless endangering safety, a felony, bail jumping, battery, obstructing an officer, and disorderly conduct. The state made a cash bail request in the amount of $1,000, which was set by the court. The defendant posted the $1,000 cash bail on November 11th, resulting in their release from custody. And this is an oversight, apparently, according to the Milwaukee DA, or at least something that they're going to investigate quite a bit more. And obviously, you would wish that we could just go back in time and change that because of the horrific things that that person did while out on bail. Different news, totally shifting gears for just a second. Something that might make people upset, though. ABC plans to remake a couple shows that I think a lot of people have very fond memories of and very, you know, fond feelings about. That would be Different Strokes and The Facts of Life. Both of these shows are in the works. I think Kevin Hart will play the character of Arnold in Different Strokes. Damon Wayans will be Willis, and there are some other members of the cast already set. The Facts of Life cast has yet to be announced. Both of these shows, I think that ABC NBC initially ran the show, but ABC will be creating the remake. They're hoping for good things, but I don't know. I don't know why we can't make new stuff. And I know we do, but it seems like all we're doing now is finding as many remakes as possible to put back out there. And I don't think they make the old fans happy, but we'll see. We'll see when it actually occurs. I do want to touch for just a second on Gorilla Glue Girl. This woman went viral for putting Gorilla Glue in her hair and having it be a whole ordeal and doing other things. Now she's a rapper, apparently, and she's dropped a song about her experience, and she's hoping for that to do very well. I haven't seen it pop up on many of the Billboard charts yet, but I haven't checked today because I don't want to know. If it's up there, I just don't want to know. But if you'd like to hear just a little tease to see if it's your kind of thing, this is the rap song created by the viral sensation, not viral for music talent, of Gorilla Glue Girl.
My hair, it don't move, it don't move. My hair, it don't move, it don't move. My hair, it don't move, it don't move. My hair.
Is this all we have to do to make like a song about something that we're in the news for? If we all get our 5 minutes, which I was just talking to producer Phil about a second ago, do we then follow it up with the hype person standing behind us just saying, come on, and we just repeat what you know us for? My hair don't move.
You know what I'm telling you? It don't move. My hair, my hair, my hair, my hair, my hair.
You know, Nicki Minaj was requested to be on this too. She's a famous singer, if you don't know who that is, which is fine. And she said no. She said she didn't want to appear on a record with Gorilla Glue Girl, and I don't blame her. One last thing that I like a lot. Two more. Let's do two more topics, and then we'll take a break. This first one is a racehorse in Japan. That's a very off-the-beaten-path topic, but I feel like this could really goose the world of racing, horse racing, if we did more of this. It's got a unique name, a name that apparently is very hard to say in Japanese because it's a tongue twister, but the name is essentially Somomomomomomomomomo, and I'm pretty sure I said that right with the right amount of mo's. And if you just, smacked your radio, it was not having any issues. That's really the name of the racehorse. It's a tremendously long name, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of thing. And I would love it if all the horses had names that ridiculous moving forward, because I think I would definitely watch the next round of horse racing. I would watch the next, any of the events, to be honest, to hear just name after name that is obnoxiously long. In the process, I would be there for any of those things, because I think that it's a way to make that sport a lot more fun. Because right now, as you can tell, maybe by the lack of me dropping the names of the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness, that I'm not much of a horse race watcher. But if you had to watch just one professional broadcaster struggle through some Momo, and I think I got it right again, and a bunch of other names like it, I mean, that is a treat in and of itself. I don't even care who wins. I don't even care what bet I place, because really that's not what it's all about. All right, one last one. This is a guy that got banned from an all-you-can-eat buffet in China because apparently he eats too much food. The guy has been told to never come back, and local news even reported on him and the ban. It's at a seafood establishment there. I guess the guy eats a lot of food, though, so much so that the restaurant would go completely out of business if it had to keep feeding this one guy. But that's the risk you take, I think, when you open a all-you-can-eat buffet, is that you gotta deal with any amount of food that people can manage to consume, and then that's on you. And probably people disagree with that. He would eat 3.5 pounds, apparently, of pork. He would eat several more pounds, about twice as many pounds of other items in the seafood restaurant. And so he would walk out with like 10 pounds of food each time. And he was showing up a lot. I guess he's also a viral food social media guy, which of course he is. So one of the things he was doing is putting this up on his social media pages to get more followers. And for those reasons, he is banned from ever coming back. But I guess that's probably also the reason it's in the news at all, that anyone would care about some dude who is not even like a bigger guy. You would kind of think that this guy might be, a heavier set dude, but he is not. He's kind of just, he looks like a lengthy kind of guy. And for whatever reason, he can throw back 10 pounds of food per sitting. If I was the restaurant, I would ban him. After everything I just said and how you kind of have to deal with that, I would also go that road because I can't be out of business because of one dude, because he's the only one ruining the party for everybody. But I just love the fact that this is in the news at all, that this popped up on my social media page, which might tell you the things I follow. And I'd love for you to debate on our Facebook page or on our social media pages if an all-you-can-eat restaurant can ban people because they eat too much food. Or is that against the rules? Is it kind of like when you show up at like a Dunkin' Donuts and they're out of donuts that never makes sense? Is this the same thing? A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show.
Podcasts are American as hot dogs, apple pie, football, and sushi.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Okay, maybe not sushi. Next time you have a craving for something sweet and tangy, download a Chad Benson Show podcast.
Mmm, boy. That is good. It's different because you get a little bit of saltiness.
It's so good because it's sweet and salty at the same time.
Get a taste on iTunes, iHeart, or Spotify and binge to your ears' content.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
This is indeed The Chad Benson Show, and I highly recommend The Chad Benson Show podcast. That's definitely something I recommend. My name is Craig Collins, fill-in host, Chad back after the holiday. An armored truck started dropping cash on the highway. I believe this was in San Diego, and people were loving it. This seemed to unite a community in ways that communities can no longer unite. There is an aspect to this that's going to be a little bit problematic for those went ahead and scooped up that cash, but let's play some of that.
People are celebrating and saying, it's cash, and they're running around and they're just grabbing him with both hands. Everybody was getting along, no problem. Everybody was really happy and excited.
First, wait. Let's hold on for just a second. There's cash on the ground. People aren't fighting over it. They're just being very happy. They're you know, all scooping it up together.
And everybody was getting along, no problem. Everybody was really happy and excited.
I think this is the Biden plan. Whenever you just give money to people for free, everybody's just going to be happy. No worrying about any of the outcomes or problems. But let's turn to one of the state troopers, one of the officers involved in getting this cash back.
People get the wrong idea. They think finders keepers. They might think possession is 9/10 of the law. They've heard that colloquialism somewhere, but that's not the law.
That is not the law. They would be wrong. They have to give that money back. And there's probably cameras and other things. Well, apparently there's social media posting like, money, we got it. But I just love the fact that the guy is like, hey, for a moment, society was fixed.
Both hands. Everybody was getting along, no problem. Everybody was really happy and excited.
Because there's free money, and we were all taking it. I want to tell you two quick marriage stories. I don't know why. They're both in the news, though, so we're going to go ahead and do them. The first one is this couple that got married over Zoom that has never met in real life. I want to say that again. This couple recently got married over Zoom, and they have never met each other. I don't know why this is a thing that would occur. I don't know what it would be, why you would feel good about this, what it would be like to be these people is what I was going to say, and how you even tell this story in the future when I assume the plan is eventually to meet each other.
I got married to my husband, who lives in America, over Zoom, even though I haven't met in person yet. We started talking because I approached him. I put on my big girl pants and I messaged him first. I got his information from his mom.
Message him first, got information from his mom, and then he started talking to him, and that led to marriage, and you still have not been in the same place as each other. I do not know if that's going to work out, although maybe it's a lovely thing and it'll become like the next Hallmark Christmas movie of some kind. I think that that would be one of those that kind of fits the bill. moving on, the perfect wedding. This is the other wedding story I have for you today. I don't know. It's the holiday season. Maybe you feel like a wedding is around the corner. But apparently the perfect wedding involves 56 guests exactly. It takes place next year, hopefully when things are fully and officially totally calmed down. And it would be on a beach. Apparently that's the last of the settings. You'd do it in the summer. I don't know how they came up with this, but I guess there was a poll of about a few hundred Americans. It's not a super significant amount of people. And the outcome was that a 56-person wedding on a beach, followed by a castle and a church, by the way. So anybody that feels like you got to have the church component, you got to have the priest there, don't worry. It's all going to be part of it. It's all the dream wedding. You're going to do multiple ceremonies. That doesn't sound like a dream to me at all. Two-thirds of Americans also said it's a good way to trim the fat on a guest list to do a destination wedding, to go somewhere where, you know, anybody that's not going to put in the effort probably doesn't care enough to be there for your special day. I love that. I love that take. And I don't know if that's something that'll ever work or something that you would want to try. But it's just so odd to say definitively, with actually probably no real scientific backing on that, and probably the next study immediately disagreeing with it. But for right now, in this moment, I can tell you that the most recent data we have says 56-person exactly wedding on a beach followed by a church and some other stuff is the way to go. Do not ask me in an hour or a day to tell you that same advice. Just live with it right now and never turn back. Taylor Swift has set another record in the world of music. She won a bunch of awards the other night. I don't know if anybody really cares about that stuff. But Taylor Swift now has the record for the longest ever number one single in our country. This beats a lot of, I think, look, I don't know. I don't want hate from the Taylor Swift people. I don't know how many Taylor Swift fans listen to the show, but there it feels like the things she's now in front of are more valuable things. And I know that the song that she performed for 10 minutes, which she did on Saturday Night Live as well, which is apparently about actor Jake Gyllenhaal, which probably doesn't make him feel good at all. But the 10-minute version, All Too Well, is supposed to be one of the best songs that Taylor Swift has ever written. And a lot of people love Taylor Swift. I, at times, have admitted that I enjoy a good amount of Taylor Swift music. But when you're better, you know, when you're now the record holder, instead of Don McLean's American Pie, instead of the Beatles' Hey Jude, I feel like something has gone wrong in our society. And I know the Beatles can't fix the problem. I know we can't go back and get to a world where there's a 10, 12, 15-minute version of those songs. But it just doesn't seem right that Taylor Swift and All Too Well now holds this record as well. But again, I guess I'm now begging for the hate from the Taylor Swifties to come after us on this show, which is good that I won't be here after a couple days. The chat will be back on Monday. It just seems wrong. And I'm not saying that she's not talented. I just feel like this is not right. And maybe I'll change my mind years from now when Taylor Swift is, you know, a nostalgic thing, like probably the Don McLean song of the Beatles. It just seems like we should do better. I don't know. I hope the Gorilla Glue Girl doesn't wind up taking the number one spot at some point in the future, because then I think I'm just done with music. I think I'm just done with everything. And I think I'm just gonna retire. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. I'll figure it out. I do want to tell you this real quick, too. And I'll try to do these rapid fire because we're running out of time here. There is apparently a how-to guide for how to fry a turkey without burning your house down. I do like this a lot. And I don't know how many people deep fry a turkey. I've never tried to do it. I've never been tempted enough to cook anything. Really for Thanksgiving. So I'm probably the wrong guy to go into this road. But if you want the tip, it does exist. It is out there. There is a missionpossibletf.kindful.com website that has been created by Tracy Lawrence to go through all these 16 different steps to not burning your house down. The most important one, location, location, location is what I'll tell you. If you're going to deep fry a turkey, you don't want to do it on, say, like a wood deck, I guess, is one of the tips on here. They're not all going to be home run tips, but they're all going to be valuable tips for anybody doing this a first time. Because I'm also the kind of cook that would burn my house down on a one-off deep frying of a turkey. All right. This has been Craig Collins filling in on the Chad Benson Show. Quick break.
This is the Chad Benson Show.